A Benson Diary. And we start with a poem by Pastor Martin Niemöller, written in 1947. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out, because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. The Thames and Tame have broken their banks, and the farmlands and meadows hereabouts are waterlogged. Here and there, temporary lakes suddenly appear and are as suddenly full of bird life. As quickly, the many, many potholes are filled by rainwater and are, as with so much in life, dangerously deceptive. Dodging potholes has made driving quite hazardous. Dodging muddy pools on bridleways and by the gates at Cow Common has turned a country walk into a field event. It has made walking our dogs a miserable business. The busyness of misery somehow struck a chord in my mind with the bleak mood of Holocaust Memorial Day. Sitting as it does between my January and February diaries, and what with snowdrops, crocuses and daffodils, and with birthdays galore, not least mine, and with Mardi Gras and Carnival and Shrove Tuesday, and the seasonal array of pancakes before the array of Lenten fasts, somehow there's never been a good moment to make mention of this somber festival. Its place as a National Day of Remembrance is relatively recent. The date chosen memorialises the liberation of Auschwitz in January 1945 by the armies of the Soviet Union. It was to be the first of the most terrible series of liberations of the concentration camps, and it also triggered another appalling war crime by Hitler's SS when they force-marched emaciated, starving camp inmates further into Germany, shooting and assaulting those who could not keep up, in a bloody attempt to cover up what evil had been done. There is also something particularly poignant about Martin Niemöller's poem. Written after the war, it reflected his own realisations about the danger of othering political opponents. He had been himself something of an old-fashioned German nationalist of Bismarckian ilk. Despite the tenets of his Christian faith, he failed to see the dangers of flirting with Hitler and the Führer's secular philosophy of National Socialism. When he objected to attacks on religion, he found himself in a serious concentration camps. He was to see firsthand what went on, and the range social outcasts brought to these places to be murdered. With the Jews were the Roma and other non-Aryans, with the communists, the disabled. All bore some identifying logo, with the Star of David there was the pink triangle that identified gay men. Given the stark nature of this darker subject matter, I probably would not have given it mention this year had it not been for a visit to see a dear friend from my earliest university days in Leeds. She is now living in Virginia Water. Everyone should have a friend like Enid. We met in my first few weeks at Leeds. She was an English literature graduate, short, with blazing Titian curly hair, a wondrous smile and a thick Liverpool accent. Enid's tight-fitting dresses and short skirts already appeared both anachronistic and an anarchic echo of Merseybeat in the velveteen sateen of this new age of 1970s loons and lunacy. Like me, Enid had Irish ancestry. Hers was Northern Ireland Protestant, as mine was Catholic Tipperary. Her politics were unapologetically conservative, much as mine were Labour. These were also the days of the miners' strike and power cuts, and the three-day week and the elections of 1974. They were also the times of the Troubles, and awful atrocities in the mainland that felt inexplicable then, as they are now. We always had a lot to talk over and argue about, and we did then, and we did later in London. So, as always with us, once I'd found my way to her McCarthy and Stone flat, our small talk quickly turned to big talk and to politics, and religion loomed large as they have throughout our long friendship. We took as ever our accustomed sides on the barricades, and we disagreed and we laughed. But at the end, I must have given a nod to the new world order that is Trump's America. And Enid winced, putting her fingers to her lips. She simply said, "It's 1930s Germany. I hate it." On my way back to Benson, through Wargrave and Henley and Nettlebed, dodging potholes and the soft persistent rain, I thought about Enid's stark words. Enid is not one to use the word hate lightly. Trump's rambling monologues tempt us not to take him too seriously. He's a bit like a real-life version of Lewis Carroll's Humpty Dumpty, whose famous dictum, "When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less," might easily be applied to Trump's narcissistic incoherence. But just as beneath the surreal surface of Alice's Wonderland, there's always menace, so the tangle of Trump talk gives intentional permission to others' violent intimidations. After all, the world laughed at Hitler's narcissistic strutting much as we laugh at Trump's narcissistic stumbling. None of this is new. There's a wonderful speech, probably penned by Shakespeare, where Thomas More confronts an angry anti-immigrant mob. It seems apt to the temper of these times. John Murphy has written that, and I'm now going to read the poem of Thomas More, or about Thomas More. Imagine that you see the wretched strangers, their babies at their backs and their poor luggage, plodding to the ports and coasts for transportation, and that you sit as kings in your desires, authority quite silent by your brawl, and you in ruff of your opinions clothed. What had you got? I'll tell you. You had taught how insolence and strong hand should prevail, how order should be quelled. And by this pattern not one of you should live an aged man, for other ruffians, as their fancies wrought, with self-same hand, self-reasons and self-right, would shark on you, and men, like ravenous fishes, would feed on one another.